KCO, 1230 AM, W255 DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. Champagne corks popping in Israel after word of an agreement between Israel and Hamas on the first phase of President Trump's peace deal for Gaza. Prime Minister Netanyahu says he'll convene his cabinet for its stamp of approval today. The BBC's Yolande Nell on what happens after that.
Following the Israeli troop withdrawal, we should have a 72-hour window. That is the time when Hamas is expected to bring back all of the hostages. They should be 20, believed to still be alive, and the bodies of many of the deceased.
Mona Yacoubian at the Center for Strategic and International Studies on possible roadblocks.
It's going to be very hard to achieve the demilitarization of Gaza, which is what the 20-point agreement calls for. So the devil is always in the details. To what extent is Hamas going to be willing to give up its arms?
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Isabella Nieto. According to the American Cancer Society, 1 in 8 women in the U.S. will develop breast cancer in their lifetime. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month and serves as a reminder that understanding your personal risk could save your life. Dr. Cecilia Strode is an Aspirus Health breast surgeon. She says some patients are at a higher risk than others.
We would like to see the cancers that we see to be screen detected. And for that to happen, we need women to have the screening that is appropriate for them at their particular level of risk.
Family history, genetics, and other health factors can increase your chances of developing breast cancer. Strode says while family history is an important part of identifying risk factors, it's a small part.
Most patients who get cancer, breast cancer, don't have an actual family history of breast cancer in close relatives.
Strode says patients who have received treatment for other cancers also have a high risk of developing breast cancer.
Women who have high-risk breast biopsies with atypical findings, women who have had chest wall radiation as part of cancer treatment at a younger age, before 30. And then there are some other things as well, but those are the big ones.
Breast tissue density can also increase your risk. Strode says denser breast tissue requires more detailed scans.
For women who have really extremely dense breasts, and that is an official term, extremely dense breast, MRI imaging is going to be a much better way to screen.
Strode says even women who have had mammograms that appeared normal need to have a clinical breast exam in case they do need a biopsy. Strode recommends women get their mammograms and disclose any changes they have noticed in their breasts to their healthcare provider. I'm Isabella Nieto for WXCO News.
The Cubs beat the Crew.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball.
The Brewers losing to the Cubs last night, 4-3 in Chicago. The Cubs scoring all of their runs in the first inning. Brewers starter Quinn Priester struggled, giving up 3 runs and was pulled after just 39 pitches.
Very frustrated. First inning, the only inning, command wasn't good and stuff wasn't coming out the way, you know, I'd wanted it to. And, you know, everyone else played real well with the exception of myself.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy on the 25-year-old Priester.
I think the moment got to him a little bit. I think this is, again, he's not technically a rookie, but it's his first postseason appearance and had a long layoff. It's at his hometown. Yeah, I feel for him.
So Milwaukee still leads the best of 5 series, 2-1. Game 4 is tonight at Wrigley Field. First pitch, 8:08 p.m. NBA, the Bucks host the Detroit Pistons tonight in a preseason matchup. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could catch a shower or an isolated thunder shower late tonight. Our low 48 tomorrow. Becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children. Right. So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande, and I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
If you're a Windows 10 user, tune in next time as we'll talk about the potential end for support, and we're giving away tickets to No Packers, No Life, the new Packers movie, next time.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. And now, live from Dallas, where there's one star on their football helmet because that's their average rating on going to the Super Bowl. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
You weren't even going to give me a rim shot for writing that one, were you? Okay.
No. I'm sorry, no.
Producer Parker Olson welcomes us in to get going. Good morning, Wisconsin. It's 6:06. Hopefully another beautiful morning up north. And from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or listening or watching us on all the different platforms that are out there, we appreciate starting your day right here. I got a question for you. Have you lost hope already? Or was yesterday just a blip? Apparently you can't sweep the Cubs after all. We keep forgetting they actually did have a pretty decent season, and we have had our moments, and Quinn Priester had his moment yesterday.
Yeah.
That one was rough.
Yeah, I feel for that kid. That was bad.
I do too. We had such a streak of games where the team did well when he was pitching, but his last two starts, not so much. And I don't know the degree to which people, you know, miss Bob Uecker with the Brewers in the postseason, but I felt there was a little bit of Uecker yesterday out there with Priester having a really tough time hitting the strike zone. I could hear Uecker going, ball four, ball eight, ball 12.
Yeah.
And then giving up a couple of home runs, and he was done after 2/3 of an inning. It was not a lot of pitches either. It was, no. What was it? 39 pitches.
I mean, 39 for an inning, pitches, that's a lot of pitches.
And that's in the top of the first inning, and it just was not working out. And so that made the difference as the Brewers fell to the Cubs 4-3. Now look, the Brewers, they still lead the best of five series, 2-1. And so despite missing out on the sweep, they could still take the series tonight at Wrigley Field. And once again, being down here in Dallas, you can't find that stuff. There's all kinds of other things that people would rather watch on their TVs while I was out and about. But I was able to listen to the local radio broadcast through my phone, and then I didn't.
I was just like, okay, bad, well, huh?
Yeah, we're just going to set this aside and do stuff with the family here, figuring that, you know, again, we'd have tonight, and hopefully I'll actually be home tonight by the time that the game starts, because it's a late game. Tony already had our first comment on YouTube. Cubs suck. It's tough losing to them. Yes. And Roger gets on Facebook to say that rating for the Dallas Cowboys, that's one star too high. Yes, it is. But you got to poke a little fun with them while you can down here in what is still hot Dallas. And I'm telling you, do you remember just a couple of weeks ago how much I was whining that we were
that it was starting to cool off
the chilly weather? And yeah. I'm like, hey, summer needs to last a little longer.
Well, I could use some really good 80 degrees stuff.
Yeah, well, it turns out I was just a little premature is all, because I have artificially extended my summer and I am ready to be done with it. So
what's the temperature looking like down there?
It's going to be 90 plus again down here. And of course, it's just the way the sun hits everything. It just feels a lot hotter, but it's a dry heat, right? So you only feel like you're in an oven.
And yeah, I was going to say, it sometimes only feels like you're on
fire. Convection oven when the wind blows just right. But anyway, it's been a nice visit. It will get back, and the Brewers will get back too. Roger notes here in the comment section, the crew started to chip their way back. They had their chances, and it's true. They're, you know, if Jake Bowers, you know, can connect on his last at bat, if Caleb Durbin, you know, actually makes a slide into home, maybe he beats a tag. Yeah. So, you know, it was not all on Quinn Priester. It's just, you know, that was the scene setter, shall we say.
It was. I went into that game. I don't know if many Brewer fans will admit this, but I went into that game expecting us to lose because, frankly, sweeping the Cubs is just too good to be true.
Yeah. I was not, you know, at all assuming that there was going to be anything like that. You know, these things happen, and you just go for it again tonight. Remember the first couple of games, how Sherry had said
they always come from behind.
Yeah. They always come from behind. And so, you know, when we scored in the top of the first, Sherry's like, oh no, we can't do that. And then sure enough, in the bottom of the first is when Quinn Priester, you know, gave up all that he gave up. And Sherry was like, see, so apparently my wife is much more of a sports predictor than any of the rest of us.
Oh, so she should get into betting.
No, that's not going to happen. Tony tells us that it's 34 in Ashland right now. Roger says it's 36 in Stevens Point. Tony said he had the fireplace going yesterday and loved it. And that is awesome. And in fact, in a little bit, in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to tell you about some of the places you could go to see some fall colors and do some fun things around Wisconsin. Sherita Booker is off this week, but we'll go through the list of things that she would normally be talking about otherwise in terms of places that you could go and things that you could do. I'm looking forward to getting back to seeing if the leaves have already fallen there. How much am I going to be raking versus, you know, at some point you get the lawn tractor out and you go, yeah, we're just going to crunch all these up, you know. And then the lawn looks like you're using Kellogg's cornflakes as a fertilizer. But
what could go wrong with that?
It beats raking. I would much rather mow it and blow it than have to rake all that stuff up.
Raking and shoveling are probably the top two terrible yard work things.
Yes. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. So if I can avoid that, I'm happy. I'm always happiest when and every house is different depending on how things. What's that?
When you don't have to do hard labor.
Well, yeah, there's always that, but when Mother Nature helps out. And again, depending on how everybody's house is laid out, in our case, if we get a south wind at just the right time of year that just blows all the leaves onto the bank, you know, or a west wind will put them all in the tree line over there, and that'll be fun. But then you get other days, it's just like you cannot catch a break from the wind, and it just piles things up in a way where you got to go get it. But that's, you know, that's home ownership, comes with the territory.
There you go.
In some of the other baseball series, the Yankees lose. They're the first team eliminated in the American League Division Series, with Toronto winning last night 5-2. The Detroit Tigers forced a deciding fifth game after beating Seattle 9-3. So Detroit and the Mariners will face off in Seattle Friday night to see who will take on Toronto. In the other National League series, the Phillies, like the Cubs, avoided being eliminated yesterday, beating the Dodgers 8-2. And so tonight, the Dodgers will have the early game, 5 o'clock Central Time, against Philadelphia. And then the Brewers will have the late game, 8 o'clock tonight against the Cubs. Parker's not happy about this.
It's just so stupid. Why is the West Coast team the early game?
Why are they getting a day game? Yeah, I know. All season long, we can't catch those games because they start at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
And now in the postseason, they decide to have a day game. And so now we have to start at 8 o'clock at night. I know.
I wonder... I wonder who I should be blaming for that, the league or TV. The networks?
Just TV. Just the networks. Yeah. It's all about the money. But it does mean that you can catch the game here on some of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network, with the pregame starting at 7:30 tonight on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and in Hayward. So, again, some baseball action. Just getting the weekend going, because we got the baseball tonight. We've got high school football on several Civic Media stations coming up, of course, on Friday night. Then on Saturday, you've got the Badgers against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Coverage begins, the pregame begins at 4 o'clock Saturday afternoon on some stations across the Civic Media Network. If, heaven forbid, the Cubs win tonight, then the deciding fifth game of the National League Division Series would be back at American Family Field Saturday night, I want to say. So, again, we'll have details tomorrow, but hopefully what we're telling you tomorrow is that the Brewers win tonight, and that'll make a Saturday game unnecessary. And then we get to Sunday, and that, of course, has the Packers back in action after the bye week. They will be taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Coverage will begin at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon for a 3:25 kickoff for the Packers, getting set to face quarterback Joe Flacco.
Again.
And no, that's not a mistake. You're not listening to a rerun from a month ago. We're not playing Cleveland again. If you missed it, there was a rare trade inside a division where Cleveland made a trade with Cincinnati and sent Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals, because they've got a couple of banged up quarterbacks. And they confirmed that Joe Flacco will start against Green Bay on Sunday afternoon. And recall that the Browns beat the Packers, and the Packers since then have only played Dallas to a tie and then had a bye week. So they're actually seeing Joe Flacco for the second time in three games, but with a different team. Something you almost never, ever see in the National Football League.
And still in the state of Ohio.
And still in the state of Ohio, too.
Exactly. He's getting passed around the AFC North like crazy. It's really weird.
I know. So we'll see him at Lambeau Field coming up on Sunday. Again, pregame will begin at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Tony asks, is he bringing Myles Garrett, too? No, then he's not worried. So there you go. Got that figured out. Let's see. So we've got all of your, we got your sports all up to date, right? Did I hit all the high notes, I believe? Yes, I did.
Yeah,
okay. Tomorrow is Friday. We'll hopefully be back at the Lake Wissota studio at that point, and we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Mike Clemens will tell us more about, you know, the Packer game, and also, you know, whatever happens with the Brewers tonight. We'll have our regular week in review panel, and I'm quite confident I will have airline stories as well.
Oh, God.
Fly yes. Later today. And I've now learned that getting to the Dallas airport is just an experience in and of itself. Oh, and did I mention there's construction there too? No, I didn't mention it. I didn't really have to. If I mention a big, you know, metropolitan airport and I say construction, you're going to say, well, of course there
duh.
Is.
You
know,
yeah.
It's like painting the Golden Gate Bridge. You know, you finish all the construction in all the things, and then you start all over again. Which I also noticed at Twin Cities Airport flying out of there. I mean, that gold concourse, the G concourse, doesn't feel like it was, you know, remodeled that terribly long ago. It's all torn up again for another remodeling job.
Like, well, you know, nothing is ever permanent. But
well, especially at airports, I'm like, who gets the cushy gig of deciding, yes, we're about to spend a lot more money to tear this stuff out that we recently put in. And every one of them is getting more and more mall-like, you know? I mean,
yeah,
you kind of forget you're about, and I think it's to make you forget that you're about to be put on the cattle car there, you know,
yeah.
with the little teeny tiny seats and the bumpy ride. And if you're lucky, a tiny bag of pretzels, you know? So prior to that, if they put all these shops in here and all this ambiance, you know, and all this food and drink, you'll forget what awaits you, at least temporarily.
Yeah, you know, I don't travel a ton. I had flown, I think, well, technically twice in my life, one way there, one way back. I could go without the experience of flying and those people.
Yeah, I mean, I have traveled, you know, in you know, in some ways that were very nice, luxurious, but those are rare special occasions.
Yeah.
And again, much like the airports themselves, just seek to remind you that, hey, unless you're paying four digits for your ticket, you're going to be back there in the cattle car. Anyway, more ahead here on this Thursday morning. It's October 9th, live from Dallas. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In recent weeks, the level of activity from Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, has increased quite a bit. There was a raid in Manitowoc at a Walmart parking lot where dairy workers were known to congregate, a series of arrests in Madison, and in Milwaukee, ICE is looking to expand its operations significantly by seeking office space downtown to go along with a new field office on the city's northwest side. This has been concerning for many, and not without reason. A recent large-scale ICE raid in an apartment building in Chicago saw reports of armed federal agents breaking down doors, U.S. citizens detained for hours on end, and children being dragged from their homes in the middle of the night. While the American immigration system has a host of problems, this kind of violent show of force is not an acceptable way to address these problems. And ICE also just received an injection of $45 billion in the One Big Beautiful Bill, so it is imperative for all of us to hold ICE accountable and speak out when things go too far. Right now, things are going way too far.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Here's a dose of reality. Driving under the influence of prescription painkillers is just as illegal and just as deadly as driving drunk. In fact, there are nearly 2,000 drug-related crashes every year in Wisconsin. Help prevent drugged driving and let's achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roadways. Driving on pills kills. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Departments of Health Services, Transportation, and Justice.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Hey, Sherita Booker is off, but still plenty of weekend events to tell you about, including the celebration of a Wisconsin governor from the late 1800s in Fort Atkinson this weekend, a former governor remembered as one of the pioneers of dairy farming in Wisconsin. Got that coming up in just a sec, but I haven't even gotten around to telling you what's on the program today, and that includes Congressman Mark Pocan, who will be joining us at 7:35 this morning. Naturally, we'll talk about the government shutdown. We'll also talk about how the congressman is fresh off a new round of town halls. You know, those town halls that allow members of the public to sound off about their distraction or their dissatisfaction over Republicans shutting down the federal government instead of passing a new federal budget. What's notable is that the town halls that Mark Pocan has been doing this week weren't held in his congressional district, the second district. Instead, he was touring the third congressional district since Congressman Derek Van Orden can't be bothered to take questions from the general public. So we've got Mark Pocan coming up at 7:35. And then at 8:35, we'll be talking to Joe Zepecki. In part, we'll talk about some new talks at the state capitol and how they're being framed as an effort by both Republicans and Democrats to bridge a long disagreement over who should pay for sites contaminated by those PFAS industrial chemicals. The thing is, there's not really much of a disagreement to bridge. The divide is over whether to protect industrial polluters or not. Republicans say that state laws should exempt people like farmers who spread industrial sludge that was later found to have harmful PFAS. And Democrats agree. You can have exemptions for people like farmers. You just can't word those exemptions in such a broad way that they also lump in the industries that created the chemicals in the first place. So we'll talk to Joe about that and other topics like the 2026 race for governor, which no longer includes State Attorney General Josh Call, but might include former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. So we'll have that. We'll talk to Chad Holmes along the way, James Kelly from our Chippewa Falls newsroom. Todd Alba will tell us what's coming up on his program a little later this afternoon as well across the Civic Media Radio Network. So all that is on the way. But first, again, let's tell you some of the things that you could be hitting this weekend as you get to traveling around the state. And I just have to bring Parker into this because I need from him to know which one he would go to if he could. So here we go. We've got in Janesville, the Enchanted Forest and Hollywood Hayride. That's happening through Saturday.
Okay.
In Menominee Falls, there is the Old Falls Oktoberfest German Beer Garden at the Old Falls Village Park. In Two Rivers, there's the 41st Annual Apple Fest. That will be Saturday in Central Park. In Waupaca, they're having the 715 Harvest Fest on Saturday to benefit the Waupaca County Dive and Rescue Team. Saukville has Autumn Farm Days at Pioneer Village on Saturday. Neillsville has their Autumn Harvest Celebration on Saturday at Town Square. In Fond du Lac, they've got the Fondy Falltoberfest and the Wisconsin Great Pumpkin Way Off at Saturday at Lakeside Park. Let's see there. And then up in Cable, there's the Mount Telemark Enduro. So that's where you take your mountain bikes, your trail bikes.
Sure.
And they're basically starting at the top of Mount Telemark, and then you're speeding downhill down this mountain on these dirt paths on your bike, which, I mean, seems like a perfectly good way to take however many hundreds or thousands of dollars you've spent on your bike and, you know, yeah. Crash it into a tree or just tear it all up on the trails. And
that seems like a good watch.
It seems like a very good watch. Although I will admit that, again, if you could go back in time and maybe do some things a little bit differently, that's one of those activities I think I might have actually taken up.
Because
I never did take up, like, you know, mountain biking or motorbikes, yeah. You know, or anything like that. Kind of wish I had back in the day now. So yeah. That one actually looks fun. I mean, right up until the moment, like I said, that you hit the tree.
Yeah.
But if you can avoid that, it's all real good. There are all kinds of pumpkin fests and events at wineries and marathons. And you can see all this at travelwisconsin.com. Did any one of those stick out for you as where you would go if you had the wherewithal?
I kind of tuned out after the beer garden thing.
We got you there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That got me pretty good.
That's just fine. And then there's one more that I wanted to mention, and that is in Fort Atkinson. And this weekend, they mark Governor Horde Day. Widely considered the father of the Wisconsin dairy industry, William Dempster Horde played a prominent role in the development of the School of Agriculture at the University of Wisconsin. And he began the first national dairy magazine in the country. And people are still reading Horde's Dairyman to this day. And I did not know until putting this segment together that the Horde and Horde's Dairyman was William Dempster Horde, former governor of the state of Wisconsin. Horde's advocacy of high standards for the dairy industry, his promotion of scientific dairying and farmer education were vital to the growth and development of dairying in Wisconsin. Using his weekly newspaper in Fort Atkinson, Horde persuaded farmers who were losing money due to poor soil and crop yields to switch from crops to dairy. But then there was controversy. Horde's time as governor was marked by controversy over the Bennett Law, which required public schools and all private schools to teach in English. And that angered a lot of the German immigrants who had a large parochial school system that was taught in German. So back then, governor's terms were 2 years long instead of 4 years long. And after 2 years, he lost his bid for re-election in 1891. He then became an ally of Robert La Follette Sr. and was involved in creating the progressive faction of the state Republican Party. So in Fort Atkinson this weekend, there will be an annual event to mark Governor Hoard's birthday, as well as mark his Civil War service. So there you go. You get a little bit of Wisconsin history in there, along with some ideas of things that you could be doing for this weekend. All right, we will be back in just a bit for today's history lesson. Stick around for that. It includes Beethoven hitting number one on the pop charts as a disco tune. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the big high school sports show.
98.9 WXCO, Wausau's real news and great conversation.
And home to Matt and Air on Air, weekday mornings from 9 to 11.
Make America healthy again. It is a phrase that brought some anxiety to production agriculture. I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. But now it looks like at least dairy is finding a way to get along with MAHA. More on that next.
Imagine a future where farming fuels the planet. On Thursday, October 9th at 7 p.m., join us at UW-Eau Claire's Davies Student Center Dakota Ballroom for the Imagine Lecture, Innovations in Sustainable Agriculture and Energy. Dr. Lisa Schulte Moore will show us how Midwest farmers are turning prairie grass, food waste, and manure into clean energy, building a circular bioeconomy that strengthens rural communities and protects our land. Free and open to the public, come curious and leave inspired.
Greg Dowd is the president and CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. He said that dairy is fitting in nicely with the nutrition policy reviews going on through the Trump administration and the Make America Healthy Again movement.
What they are talking about is really an important change in how we feed ourselves as human beings. And the fact that, you know, we've got to get away from all this ultra-processed stuff that we're in. I think everybody kind of agrees with that. It's just a matter of how you define it, and I don't know what that is and what that looks like. And we need to get back to more protein in our diet. But I think for us in dairy, there is this huge recognition that fat in dairy isn't bad for you. It's good for you. It's brain food. It's a critical thing that helps your body function.
Greg Dowd, president, CEO of the National Milk Producers Federation. He says while the next round of federal dietary guidelines is still under review, they're optimistic. He said the market's already responding to the Make America Healthy Again movement. Walmart announcing it's removing synthetic food dyes and about 30 other chemical ingredients from its U.S. food brands by January of 2027. And Wisconsin's only cottage cheese plant is expanding to meet skyrocketing demand for high-protein foods.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Dig into Wisconsin's soil where good things grow. That's the theme for this fall's Ag in the Classroom essay contest. And to encourage fourth and fifth grade students to engage, they're holding a virtual author visit on November 5th with Peggy Thomas, author of The Soil in Jackie's Garden. More available on that at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm PM Yonke.
You're listening to 98.9 WXCO, Wausau's home for Matt and Air on Air, weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 65 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening. Could catch a shower or an isolated thunder shower late tonight. Our low 48 tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the mid-60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 33.
As veterans, we're no strangers to helping others.
That's what we were taught, service before self.
But we do have one question for the veterans listening.
When is the last time you reached out for help?
If you or someone you know needs resources, whether it's for stress, finances, employment, or mental health, don't wait. Reach out.
Find more information at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach.
Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Run, Dane!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by UW Law Professor Josh Braver, an expert in civil-military relations. We discuss the growing National Guard deployments across our country. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
This is calm, it's gonna get you. Gonna knock you right on the head.
You better get yourself together.
We should be celebrating John Lennon's 85th birthday today. The former Beatle, born this day in 1940, and of course lost way too soon, way back in 1980. Again, John Lennon's birthday today. On his 35th birthday, back in 1975, was born his brother Sean. Sean Lennon is 50 years old today, half brother to Julian Lennon. And on this day in 1965, so that would have been John Lennon's 25th birthday, the Beatles had a number one hit with Yesterday. So a lot of John Lennon connections to this October 9th, starting with his birth on this day in 1940. Also in today's history lesson, this is the anniversary of the birth of Charles Walgreen, an American pharmacist and businessman. I think we all know what business he started.
The Walgreen?
CVS is actually what he founded.
Ah.
No. It actually was Walgreen.
Oh, okay.
Again, he was born this day in 1873. Charles Walgreen passed away in 1939 after giving us a place where we could get our medications, get our photos developed, get all kinds of makeup and hair and personal products you didn't even know you needed. And of course, my favorite part of Walgreens now is the As Seen on TV shelf.
Oh boy.
You ever see that? All the things that you see on the infomercials, and they're right there. And I always stand there and I look at it and I go, maybe I really do need one of those little doohickeys.
Really? And I didn't think that'd be your thoughts.
I think about it and then I never do. I never
okay,
do.
Okay.
That's
more like
day, on this day in 1936, Hoover Dam began to generate electricity and transmit it to Los Angeles. So you said you haven't done much traveling, so I'm going to assume Hoover Dam is not on that list of places you've been?
No, I have only been to D.C., basically.
Okay, so. Gotcha. We saw Hoover Dam in 2000. It was either 2000 or early 2001. So it was before the 9/11 attacks, because after that, they stopped giving the tours inside the dam.
Oh.
So I guess theoretically, I'm one of the last people, you know, to have actually gotten the tour inside of Hoover Dam, the hard hat tour.
Yeah.
Huh. Still have the hard hat to prove it. And I mean, it is as mammoth and impressive as you would expect. It's one of those things you still look at, and you do that about, again, the Golden Gate Bridge or a tall building or whatever, but you look at the and go, how did somebody design that and build that and have it still, you know, doing what it's doing today so well?
It seems like one of those things that you just kind of can't wrap your head around pure scale of it. Yeah.
Yes. But here's the thing, even though I can't wrap my head around it, I don't deny that it exists, which has always been my frustration with like anything else about science, where people go, oh, well, that's just your opinion that these vaccines work. No, it's actually people who are smarter than me who look into this stuff, you know. So just think of some of that stuff that you can't see, like Hoover Dam, that you can see, and trust the people that stayed in school a couple of weeks longer than you and me. That's all I'm asking. Another musical happy birthday today to Jackson Browne, who is 77 years old today. Jackson Browne, that's his real name. Well, his middle and last name. His birth name is Clyde.
Clyde?
Clyde Browne. Clyde Jackson Brown. And he decided that maybe going with Jackson Brown would be a better way to go.
That's not a bad.
Oh, no. For an alternate point of view, Tony puts on Facebook, do your own research, Pat. Hoover Dam is a lie.
God.
Anyway,
it's all a hoax.
Jackson Brown was born this day in 1948 in Heidelberg, Germany, where his American serviceman father was stationed at the time. And it reminds me to mention, I hadn't mentioned this yet this week, when I was flying out to Nashville last week before coming to Dallas, I finally downloaded on my phone and started watching the Billy Joel documentary.
Oh.
And it is every bit as good as advertised. I mean, I'm only maybe halfway through the first part. It's a two-part thing.
Sure.
And so I still got a ways to go, but Jackson Brown features prominently in there as one of the, you know, all those young songwriters, you know, back then that were a bit of a fraternity and talking about Billy Joel's early life. And I still can't believe it. It's taken me all these months to finally get around to watching it, but it's going to be a great show watching on the flight home later today too.
What's the, I can't think of what it's called. There's a Beatles. It's not a documentary really. I think it's like they just had cameras running while they were writing songs. I can't think of which ones.
Yeah. Yeah. The one that came out, what, a year or so ago?
Probably. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, and I have started watching that one, and I haven't finished it, so it's on my very long to-do list of things I got to get around to watching.
Yeah.
If you ever hear of the day that I hasten my retirement, it's because my list finally got to a point where I said, that's
running
it,
out of time.
I got to just do that full-time from this point on. Yeah.
There's not enough hours left in the day to watch all of these things.
Yes, a rockumentary, Tony asks on YouTube? No, I wouldn't call it a rockumentary.
Actually, I really like that.
I know.
I'm kind of on board for that one, Pat.
Okay, good deal. Let's see. On this day in 1961, Ray Charles had the number one song in the country.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more.
Wait, you're telling me that Joe Biden didn't come up with Hit the Road, Jack?
No. Let's see, John Entwistle, bass player for The Who, born this day in 1944, passed away in 2002. Actor Tony Shalhoub with his Madison roots. He is 72 years old today. The popular children's show Thomas the Tank Engine premiered in the UK on this day in 1984. Look, you got that smile like you grew up watching a lot of Thomas the Tank Engine.
Oh, yeah. A lot of Thomas the Train.
Aw, that's so sweet. The Fox Broadcasting Company launched as the fourth U.S. television network this day in 1986. Nobody thought it was going to last. You know, everybody was set in their ways. There was ABC, NBC, and CBS. And that's all there ever was, and that's all that there ever would be. And then Fox showed up with, you know, some unusual shows you would normally see on network TV, like The Simpsons, things that were a little more edgy. Some would even say a little more raunchy. They got good ratings. Then they landed the National Football League games for the NFC.
Yeah.
And truly became a fourth network after that. It enabled them to spin off things like Fox News Channel, Fox Business Channel, and all the other things that have made TV just the wonderfully informative, educational, and good for democracy brand that we've come to expect from Fox.
It's a diverse TV guide.
Yes, put it that way. All right, on this day in 1976, the number one song was by Beethoven. Well, not specifically Beethoven, but Walter Murphy's take on Beethoven's Fifth. So the question becomes, if you could play this for Beethoven, is it the rolling in his grave thing? Like, what have they done to my song? Or would he be like, oh, yeah, I totally see why you did it that way in this day and age, meaning 1976.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Musicians,
composers
can be a little picky.
Yeah. Yeah. They don't like when you take their work and twist it in certain ways. But like I said, maybe others have a different view on it. Anyway, it was done by Walter Murphy and his Big Apple Band. And if Walter Murphy's name sounds familiar, he still does some TV and film composing work. For example, you see his name on the musical credits for Family Guy. every week as well. Kurt Newman, the singer-songwriter and guitarist for the Bodines, is 64 years old today, born in Milwaukee. And then Steve from Blue's Clues is 52 years old today. So if you were big into Thomas the Tank Engine, Blue's Clues had to be something on the TV, too.
No, I'm not sure I saw any Blue's Clues, actually, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, Steve was one of them there. So there you go. Steve from Blue's Clues is 52 years old today. Let's see. From the standpoint of the National Day calendar, what did you find on there for us?
Incredibly light day again on the National Day calendar. But you know what? I think we've got one of the best international days of all time. It's International Beer and Pizza Day.
International Beer and Pizza Day.
Yep.
Was this thought up at a bowling alley?
I mean, certainly.
Because those three things go together perfectly. But yeah, beer and pizza day.
Yeah.
I like it. That works. It even when we bought our current house 30 years ago, and you know, we were in debt up to here, and you know, we had lawn furniture in there for like the first year because we couldn't afford furniture, but at least we had the house. And when we signed the closing papers at the bank, we had just enough cash on hand to stop at the corner gas station and get they had slices of pizza and a six pack of beer.
There you go.
So we sat on our back deck of our newly purchased home with beer and pizza and said, well, let's see where this goes from here. And it turned out all right. Little did I realize that it would be marked by International Beer and Pizza Day 30 years later.
There you go.
Not that I'm taking all the work for it. What else do we have on the calendar today?
Yeah, World Sight Day. Pat, as two people with glasses, I think we can appreciate this day.
Oh, so S-I-G-H-T, not S-I-T-E.
Yes, that day. Yes.
Okay. I do believe sight is important there. Yes, so let's make mention of that. By the way, in a follow-up, we've talked about the various cuts to programs, educational programs, and things like that, including cuts to a program to help with the education of deaf-blind children in Wisconsin. And I just wanted to do a quick follow-up that 1 year's worth of funding has been restored. It's being sent to this particular program, you know, through like a third party, but at least the program won't be ending, at least right away. Something worth noting on this World Sight Day. Anything else on the calendar?
National Curious Events Day.
Tell me more.
Curious Events, I believe it was defined as like a Bigfoot sighting.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, yeah.
Have you had any curious events that are worth noting?
Well, I've seen some interesting things. I don't know if I'd call them curious events.
Okay. All right. From an entertainment news standpoint, or what other little non-hard news stories are you following?
LeBron James, I don't know if you saw this. He had the second decision.
The second decision. Like taking his talents to South Beach, that kind of decision?
Well, he teased it one day, and it kind of, people were going, oh, he might be retiring. Everyone else was like, oh, it's going to be an ad. And sure enough, it was an ad for Hennessy.
Okay.
A fan, though, thought that he was going to be retiring and bought two tickets to what would have been his last game. And now he's suing LeBron for the price of those tickets.
So LeBron teases, oh, I've made this decision.
Yes.
Which he didn't tell people was like a tease for a commercial. He just said, I've made this decision. A fan thinks he's going to retire, buys tickets to the game, what would have been the last game of the season. Yeah. He, of course, doesn't retire. But because this guy got fooled, he's now suing LeBron for the tickets.
For $865.66.
I hope the judge not only rules in favor of LeBron James, but tells this guy he's got to pay court costs of $865.10, because that's just
a little goofy. Silly.
I know. All right. Still ahead this morning, of course, we will be talking to Congressman Mark Bocan. That's coming up at 7:35, where we will talk about the Trump shutdown here and whether Republicans are showing any signs of restoring some of the health care cuts that they've made earlier this year. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As as Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With a message for everyone paying big wireless way too much. Please, for the love of everything good in this world, stop. With Mint, you can get premium wireless for just $15 a month. Of course, if you enjoy overpaying, no judgments, but that's weird. Okay, one judgment.
Visit mintmobile.com/radio.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. Intro rate first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. Default terms at mintmobile.com.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You want to feel important. You want to be a part of something bigger, something that matters and can help change things. You want to feel like you belong. We know. We felt that way too. And that's why we did something about it. We aren't just Army National Guard soldiers. We are normal people just like you. And together, we can make a difference. Take on your legacy. Visit NationalGuard.com to find out more.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
State Senator Jeff Smith. We're talking about the Veteran Housing and Recovery Program. Republicans blocked funding for this.
They instead sent the governor a 16-page letter blaming him for this problem. Well, it was in his budget. Once the budget is out of his office and in their hands, it's up to them. Our job is to manage the funding. We can do it, but the governor can't. So it's avoiding our own responsibility by not addressing that.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Hey everybody, Todd Allball here. If you've been to a Wisconsin sports event, especially a football game, you've heard his voice.
First and 10, Wisconsin.
That's Badger Public Address announcer Mike Mankey. Join us Friday afternoon at 2:30 as we catch up with the Badger legend during UW Homecoming Week. How does he come up with those iconic calls?
Wrong day!
And what are his best Badger moments? Join us for a conversation with Mike Mankey Friday at 2:30 on the Todd Allball Show.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. I am Chad Holmes, along with Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
We will have more with you, Mr. Theater himself, in just a little bit. But we have the other Mr. Theater, Mr. Grand Theater, as we get a chance to talk every other week to Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater and the Performing Arts Foundation of the Wausau Performing Arts Foundation. Sean, good to see you again.
Yeah, good morning.
Well, I tell you, it's a fun time of year. I know you're splitting your time between watching a lot of baseball and a very busy time at the Grand as well.
Very busy time at the Grand, yes. That's the, I have more time with the Cardinals not in it, so that's good. I can devote myself more fully to the Grand endeavors. But yeah, it's been a busy start to October, a couple of great shows with the Folsom Prism Experience and Celtic Thunder. And yeah, we are, I don't want to say we ever stopped, but we're truly off and running now into what is a very, very busy couple of months leading up to the holidays.
Those two shows were ones I wanted to ask you about because we've been talking about those coming in, and there's, I think, a lot of expectation for folks in the community to see those shows. Let's start with this week's show with Celtic Thunder. How did that go?
Just a really, really fantastic show. I mean, those guys are so talented. They've been, you know, touring the world now for a decade in some form or fashion, and it's just a truly wonderful mix of voices and culture and music, and so it was a really fun night.
And also Folsom County Blues,
Folsom Prison Experience. Yes,
I'll get it right. There are some performers that just, even after, you know, Johnny Cash, I mean, how many years has it been since he had passed away, but yet it just feels like there are certain performers that still have a connection with audiences, and this is one way of continuing that. And it just, and I don't know what it is about some of them. I mean, Johnny Cash obviously was an incredible performer for many decades, and was still, he had late in his life a big renaissance, and be able to work with artists such as Nine Inch Nails.
It was
crazy. What is it about Cash that still resonates with audiences? Because you bring in a pro like this because it's Johnny Cash.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's because his music and his spirit of sort of standing up to authority. It's kind of timeless, and it resonates with the people who saw him. I mean, I think that's one of the things I enjoyed most the other night is we literally had people in the audience who were telling me about, I saw him actually 2 years before Folsom Prison, like in 66 when he was really having trouble with drugs and alcohol, and he wondered if he was going to have a career. And then you had people who said, I saw him on his last tour. And then you saw kids and grandkids, there with their Cash t-shirts on because, it's sort of funny. You don't think of it as it's a show for people, 2 to 92, the thing you always use. But it is, because truly his music is timeless. It's been passed down through the generations. And you're right. It's somebody who knows him because they've known him for 60 years, or knows him because, wait a minute, he was on a Nine Inch Nails album, or he, collaborated with U2, somebody like that. And the music's just timeless.
And one thing about Cash as well is that he had the ability to, it seemed like, I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but he had the feel to work with others that broadened his appeal. I mean, when I was in college, a friend of mine gave and I wish I remembered who this group was. It was like a punk group where Johnny Cash did Man in Black. His voice was there, and he just seemed to, he never seemed to be insulated to everything else that's out there.
No, I mean, if you look at his last two or three albums, it's almost all songs by other artists, or songs that it's his interpretation, or his songs reimagined or combined with other artists. A true artist who didn't just live in his own box, but enjoyed clearly working with others. And it goes back to that thing you're saying. One of the original legends of rock and country, and it's across the board. That's the other thing too, is that
it just an intriguing guy.
Exactly.
I like talking about the guy because when we come across entertainers that touch people that are just intriguing, and I always found him very intriguing in so many different ways. He did so many different things. In fact, again, this is sort of off topic. Many years ago, a friend of mine, we went to a broadcast museum down in Chicago, and they had old. Johnny Cash had his own television show back in the early 70s, and they had copies of the Johnny Cash. My friend was a big Johnny Cash guy, and it was like, this guy did everything. I found it so intriguing.
Yeah, no, and that is the thing, because whether it was country, whether it was rock, whether it was television, whether it was appearing on other artists' things, whether it was, the Man in Black persona, but then also the poking fun at himself in certain things. Yeah. And I think in some ways, because he was on the stage literally until his death, there were people who felt as though you know, they grew and they evolved as Johnny Cash did, mm-hmm. And then allowed them to introduce them to, you know, their kids, grandkids, and it's what makes him really an iconic figure in the music world.
And that iconic term sometimes can be used, I think, loosely, but yes. It certainly fits exceptionally well, because I think Cash is a Presley like yes. level, and that's that highest level. It's like, this is really amazing.
Yeah, no, he truly deserves the iconic status. Unlike, it was interesting on Friday as we're getting ready for the show, I, you know, get the Polestar magazine, and it refers to Kesha reaching her iconic status with the latest tour, and I was like, let's pull back on that.
We'll have more with Sean Wright, the executive director of the Grand Theater in downtown Wausau, coming up. We'll talk about some of the shows coming soon to the Grand, and the tickets are going fast. So, again, more with Sean Wright coming up as we continue here on this Thursday morning. More of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow coming up after a top-of-the-hour information update, which is straight ahead on 98.9 WXCO.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio,
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report: celebrations from Tel Aviv to southern Gaza after an agreement between Israel and Hamas on phase one of President Trump's plan that could finally end the war. Correspondent Deborah Patta has details from East Jerusalem.
There is a deal. Once the Israeli government formally approves it later today, Israeli troops will retreat to a defined line within Gaza. And that is when the 72-hour clock begins for Hamas to release all the remaining 48 hostages, living and dead.
It's believed 20 of them are still alive. CBS's Weijia Jiang is at the White House.
Netanyahu invited Trump to address Israel's parliament. President Trump says he is considering going to the Middle East this weekend. Stops could include Israel and Egypt, and he hasn't ruled out going to Gaza.
UN's Agency for Palestinian Refugees calls the agreement a huge relief. CBS News special report.